Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson, looking at life through the eyes of a biblical worldview. He grapples with the issues of education, culture, and family. He doesn't have all the answers, but one thing is for sure. He is committed to preserving our faith and freedom for the next generation. And now, here's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five. Dave Buhner, also in studio, producer of this program. Dave is a father of five as well. And we are concerned about all issues of life, and we look at these issues of life through the eyes of a biblical worldview. And today we want to talk about household economics. Dave, I don't know if you've read Farmer Boy or not. This is the book by Laura Ingalls Wilder. It's all part of that Little House on the Prairie series. Well, back in the 1870s, Al Manzo worked with his father plowing the fields. Now, serious changes have come about since the 1870s. There he was working side by side with his father plowing the fields. In the evenings, the family sat together in the living room by candlelight. Mother knitted and rocked in her high-backed rocking chair. Father carefully scraped a new axe handle with his bit. Alice sat on a pillow doing her woolwork embroidery. Eliza Jane read aloud the news of the New York Weekly paper. Almanzo sat on a footstool by the stove, an apple in his hand, and a bowl of popcorn by his side. Now, let's fast forward it 50 years later. That was 1870s. 50 years later, Almanzo's father left the farm. Mom left the farm, too. Of course, she had to take her job. And then Almanzo was put into school full-time because you had the division of labor such that you had a full-time teaching class. And then, of course, at that point, everybody was segregated into classrooms by age, so brothers and sisters never saw each other. They used to sit around the living room every evening having conversations and being in fellowship with each other, but no more. Each child now runs off to their own sporting event. Non-interactive entertainment came into play with the video games and television. Pretty soon everybody had their own relationship with a television set and their television program. Very little relationship with anybody sitting around them on Sundays. Church is segregated into classrooms. You have children's church and Sunday school, etc. So here it is. We have a worldview operating where we could say, thanks to the Industrial Revolution, yes, father went off to the corporation, mother went off to the corporation, but I don't think it was just the Industrial Revolution. No, there was a worldview operating here, a worldview that everybody bought into. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the worldview that operates today. Here it is, folks. The worldview is that of the disunified family. Yes, I said it, the disunified family. That's what people believe in. Wives aren't expected to be helpmeets for their husband's economic vision. As Gloria Steinem, the great feminist, said, a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle. And that is exactly the worldview that completely dominates the family and the family's economic vision today. Women are not created to support their husband's economic vision. They are there to go get their job. Why do they need husbands? Why do men need wives? Well, 1 Corinthians 11:11 said the man is not independent of his wife, and the wife is not independent of her husband. That's a biblical vision. That's a biblical vision, but it's not the vision, it's not the heart of the current society. The biblical vision is a unified family life. But everything we're doing is set against unity in the family. Our hearts have turned against it, ladies and gentlemen. Even the universities and schools are carefully preparing children every day for segregated, disintegrated family life. That's the economic vision. That's the direction of modern society. Churches gear their teaching and their ministries around a segregated, disintegrated vision for the family. Our entire society is unified against a biblical concept of the unified family. The disunified family is assumed in the churches, in the corporations, in the schools today. And that is why divorce is so high. There is no economic reason to stay married. There is no economic reason to have children. That's why our economics is killing the family, folks, and it's killing our civilization. But today, there is a movement afoot. I'm telling you, it exists. There's a movement afoot to reverse the trend back towards a unified family. And it's coming by way of homeschooling and entrepreneurism. It's time to think out of the box, folks. Our young people today are beginning to prepare for an entrepreneurial track. They're preparing for their own engineering businesses, their own medical businesses, their own farms, their own law offices. And the preparation isn't necessarily wasting a bunch of time in college to get there. The preparation comes by way of innovation, character building, yes, education, but apprenticeships, hands-on co-op ed programs, and we are moving back towards a unified family economic vision. It's coming by way of entrepreneurism, and I want to talk a little bit more about this today. In fact, we're going to get Wade Myers online with us, himself an entrepreneur. He is a CEO of Real Manage, a venture capital-backed property management firm. And Wade Myers has a vision for entrepreneurism in the next generation. Stay with us, folks. You're going to be challenged with this interview with Wade Myers in just a moment.
Worldview Radio at its best. This is Generations. This is Generations.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Today, entrepreneurism. And we have on with us on the air Wade Myers, who is CEO of Real Manage, a venture capital-backed property management firm. He's founded several companies and assisted many entrepreneurs with the founding of their own company. He has been CEO of four companies, and I couldn't think of anybody better out there who could help us with this issue of entrepreneurship. Wade, you know, welcome to Generations. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure.
Now, Wade, it seems to me that entrepreneurship kind of comes and goes. It may have fallen off for a little while. Do you think it's coming back?
Well, entrepreneurship has always been important, and small business has always been a huge economic growth engine for our country. But certainly among, you know, the conservative Christian homeschool crowd, entrepreneurship is what it's all about in terms of creating a family vision and having hearts, you know, turn towards home instead of at the corporate workplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I worked in the corporate world for a number of years. I'm thinking 12, 13 years. I worked my way up through management in a couple engineering companies. And I still found that corporate life was stifling and boring. Even for me, as I was advancing up the corporate ladder, it was boring. And I found it somewhat equalitarian. That is, you know, everybody basically gets the same amount of money. Do you find that the modern corporation, at least the way it's currently done, it seems to erode initiative and innovation over the years?
Yes, I absolutely agree with you, Kevin. Of course, I was a slave in the corporate world myself for many years. And I think a lot of it is because everything is so tightly contained and constrained. Every job has a job description. Every job has a compensation plan. And, you know, it's all you're basically, you know, to march to the orders that you're given, and there is no room really for a lot of initiative. An initiative is not really rewarded. In fact, sometimes, you know, initiative is there's a disincentive for initiative. Just do what you're told to do, and, you know, don't ask any questions.
What happened to you, Wade? How has your vision changed over the years? You said you worked in the corporation. You've obviously headed up a number of corporations. How has your overall view of business and work changed in your life?
Well, it all has to do with my, you know, faith and worldview. I was not a Christian for the first 30-odd years of my life, so I was on that track of trying to do everything that the world told me to do. And when I became a Christian, I became an entrepreneur. Hmm. And I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but, you know, just really realized that I was, you know, that was a better calling for me. So my faith and as I grew in my faith, realizing that as a husband and father that I needed to provide for my family and tend to my family and raise up godly children and teach my children well and have my heart turned towards home, that has further then changed how I act as an entrepreneur. But it has everything to do with my faith, and it's all kind of wrapped up in that.
As you've gone more the direction of entrepreneurism, Wade, what are the benefits? What does it bring to your life that you would recommend to others?
Well, there's a lot of reasons to be an entrepreneur. And as I talk to homeschool dads and grads, they almost all want the same thing. You know, the ability to work from home, get out of debt, you know, control our schedules, have plenty of time to shepherd our families, you know, have our own business that we can pass on to our children, to teach our sons and daughters how to be entrepreneurs, you know, sons entrepreneurs in a way that they can provide for their family, daughters being entrepreneurial in a way that they can support their husband's vision and ministry and be part of the family economy. So those are, you know, some reasons, and also just, you know, the broad general reasons that you hear from the world, even freedom and independence, gaining broader business experience, rewards being tied directly to performance, unlimited earning capacity, right? Basically writing your own check based on how God blesses you, the opportunity to unleash your creative talents. And like you said, Kevin, the involvement of family members, bringing your family into this entrepreneurial economy and all the skill sets that you have as a family, and basically building the value of your estate that you're going to pass on to your children to give them an inheritance, as the Bible talks about.
You know, Wade, I managed a number of different organizations when I was in the corporate world, and yet today I am basically by myself as a family, as a household. We run various ministries, and I find that my family is more unified, more loyal, more behind me in my economic vision. Do you find the same thing?
You know, there's no question. One of the things that every leader worries about in the corporate world is building a culture in their company. And they're worried about the character of, you know, the executive team. And will the employees actually show up for work? Will they actually do the work that you pay them for? You know, with the family, as a family leader, if we're doing it right, Kevin, as you well know, if we're doing it right, our wives are with us. They are co-laboring with us. Our children are with us. We're every day, as we lead family devotions, as we lead the family and shepherd our family, and as we work together, it all, we don't have to worry about building a company culture. It's there, right? We don't have to worry, will their employees work with integrity and act with integrity? They will. They're part of our family. So if we have our children's hearts, and as we work together, we'll absolutely be moving in the same direction.
And there are so many blessings. They're not just economic, but spiritual blessings and just, I don't know, just the emotional uplift of having your entire family as part of your life. That's been a blessing for me, and I recommend it to a lot of folks. Hey, Wade, you know, I talk to a lot of homeschool graduates out there on a regular basis who are looking for God's calling on their lives, and I distinguish two tracks. I think it's helpful to see it this way. There is the corporate track, corporate college track, the college preparing you for the corporate life, and then you've got the entrepreneurial track. So I distinguish the two tracks, and today we're talking about that entrepreneurial track. You know, if that young person is going to go and become an entrepreneur and start his own business for his home and for his family, how does the preparation for that entrepreneurial track differ from the typical preparation a young person goes through for that corporate track?
Great question, Kevin. It really is a completely different vision and a completely different attitude. And if we can catch our children young and train them up on the entrepreneurial track, I mean, God calls us to fruitfulness. Fruitfulness spiritually, you know, planting churches and expanding the faith. Fruitfulness also in how we provide for our families. If we can raise up our children early on, it flows. Now, the hardest thing is for guys like you and I that started down the college track and sort of the world track and then bailed out because we're kind of that first generation of trying to rebuild and find the old path. So it's kind of the advice would be different if it's, the 40-year-old homeschool dad trying to get back home and build a family business as opposed to the young homeschool grad coming up wanting to find his way. And so for the young man coming up, I think it's a lot easier. And my advice to him would be, first of all, commit everything to prayer, right? Find out what, based on the gifts that God has gifted you with and the passions that God has given you, and all the blessings that you've been given, through prayer, try to direct your energies towards something that you can do. And I think a lot of it is for that young man is don't get on the track of high debt and expenses and lifestyle and get caught up in all that. Mm. If you start out with, you know, being debt free and living fairly inexpensively so that all of a sudden as opportunities come across your path, you can act on them because you're not worried about needing to make a certain amount of money because you have your college debt or your mortgage for your house. And I think the insidiousness of the college corporate track is that you start out life with all your debt from college. You have to get the big job to pay it off. And then, of course, you get the mortgage on your house, which the world tells you you have to have. And then you're on that treadmill, and then you're stuck.
A lot of wisdom here, folks. Wade Myers is CEO of Real Manage. He has been CEO of four companies. We appreciate the wisdom you're providing today. It sounds to me like apprenticeship would be key as well. When you talk about surrounding yourselves with great counselors, a young man, 18, 19, 20 years of age, really ought to be apprenticed.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's definitely a biblical model for apprenticeship. You know, we saw that with, you know, Timothy and Paul and, you know, certainly Moses and Joshua. I mean, there's a lot to be said for the apprenticeship model. And hopefully in the next generation, you know, dads can apprentice their sons and sons can, you know, grow up being, you know, passed along this entrepreneurial wisdom and this whole notion of this long-term vision of fruitfulness. And again, it's spiritual fruitfulness. It's family fruitfulness. It's having, you know, all the children God can bless you with and those, you know, utilize those economic assets.
Yeah.
Apprenticeship is important, whether it's father to son or other, you know, wise, godly men that can help train up a young man and help launch his career.
Wade, one of the most difficult issues that I've confronted myself, and I know a lot of guys who want to start out with their own business confront this, is how to choose the line of business. Some lines of business seem to lend themselves better to entrepreneurism. For example, it's hard to have your own firefighting business if that's a public entity in your local neighborhood. But it's hard to choose what to start out with. How do you encourage people in that area?
Well, I like your firefighting example. Actually, you know, as a deal maker seeing opportunity, there are lots of small communities that struggle with how to provide sort of, you know, quote unquote public services. And there are, I see lots of entrepreneurial models where, you know, for example, a young man could approach the local community and say, you know, you struggle with how to do this, but, you know, I'll do a contract with you to provide, you know, firefighting services, and you go find some truck in some other community that just bought a new truck, and, you know, you kind of put together a deal to provide services. So I see opportunity everywhere. But for a young man starting out, you know, there's a lot of ways to start out, but I would tend to say start young and just start selling stuff, start producing stuff, you know, whether it's, you know, the lemonade stand when you're 10 or whatever it is, and just get a sense for how the exchange works, right? The exchange of value, of doing work for people. I love to see young men, you know, mowing lawns and just working hard and learning how to work and learning how to, deal with customers. And as a young man grows up, I think then he can start to get a sense for what his spiritual gifts are, as well as his talents and abilities that God has blessed him with, and what he really feels God's call in is on his heart, and his personality. You know, everybody has different personalities, and then all the different experiences that he has. And as you start to build on those spiritual milestones, I think opportunities will come before a young man, and hopefully with the right attitude and with the flexibility of not having any debt and with the right work ethic, then he can take advantage of those opportunities and move forward to create a way for him to provide for his you know, young family if God blesses him with a family.
Wade, it seems to me that we have been talking about something more than just building your own business today. You've been bringing up words like character and faith and freedom from corporate slavery and improvement of family unity and the household vision. There's a lot more here in the entrepreneurial vision than meets the eye, isn't there?
There is. You know, when Christ is talking about the parable of talents and you know, giving the faithful servant 10 cities to manage. You know, this whole, you know, sort of dominion mandate of being fruitful and multiply, it's not just having lots of kids. It's not just homeschooling them. That's all important. But, you know, to take whatever God blesses you with and living out the, you know, the commands of biblical patriarchy. But it's also the blessings of being able to provide for them and provide that inheritance. And whatever the Bible talks about inheritance, you know, it's not just a spiritual inheritance, which is important, very important, but it's also, you know, land and property. And all of this is bound up together. When God promises to bless us, and we see that the blessings of the biblical patriarchs, you know, it was, all of it was wrapped up into the same thing. You know, being faithful, being obedient, raising our children well, you know, teaching them how to provide, teaching sons how to provide for their families. It's all there. It's all part of the same puzzle.
Ladies and gentlemen, is it time to increase the vision for your life, for your family's life? This could very well be the time to do it. And Wade Myers, who's been with us today, will be speaking at the Entrepreneurial Boot Camp in August, put on by Vision Forum. And for more information, you can check it out at visionforum.com. That's visionforum.com. Click on events. As again, Wade Myers will be speaking there. Wade, thanks so much for giving us just a snapshot of what you're going to be talking about down in San Antonio.
Thank you, Kevin.
Folks, I hope you're catching a little vision here. And it starts with the way you educate your children. It's going to work out in the way you unify your family under an economic vision for that family. But let me encourage you to start with the way you educate your children. That's why I wrote the book Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. You can get my book Upgrade, The 10 Secrets for the Best Education for Your Child by calling 877-842-CHECK. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Share the vision with others. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.